These guys have been decomposing for years. The Flowerland Garden Show is playing live on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And good morning, my friends, across the fruited and rooted plain. It's another Saturday morning. Not just any other Saturday morning. Spring has sprung. It's not a fig leaf of your imagination. And we'll talk you through it this morning here on the Flowerland Show. Rick Doug Christie, left to right across your radio dial. Engineer, producer extraordinaire John Ilk is at the controls. And behind the glass, ready to celebrate spring as always, Dusty Miller. 616-774-2424, our number here on the Flowerland Show. All right, let's take care of this right off the bat. That's right. Looky over there. She's back.
I'm back.
Christy's back. Here on the Flowerland Show on your Saturday morning. Christy, welcome back.
Thank you. And I also want to thank all the awesome people for their cards, their letters, emails, voicemails. Those things make you smile in a weird way that you don't usually smile. So that's kind of awesome. And shout out to all the awesome doctors at Mercy Health and the nurses. Don't forget them. They do what they do, so I could be back here to do what I do. And that's Pinch and Punch Doug, because he's missed me terribly.
I haven't missed you. No.
You haven't missed me?
No.
Well, I've missed you, but I'll take better aim next time.
Well, welcome back. And behind the glass over there, Dusty Miller. Dusty, you believe this?
Welcome back, Christy.
Thank you.
A lot of calls while you were gone, and so welcome back.
Thanks a lot. I'm glad to be back. I can't believe how exciting the weather has been and how awesome. I did have the advantage of enjoying some beautiful weather.
Just a beautiful spring, no question about it. Yeah, right. So let's dive right into that this morning and bring you up to speed on where things are at. GDD, growing degree development, growing degree days, four times the 4 or 5 year average. So if you think spring has arrived, it is not a fig leaf of your imagination. In addition to that, soil temperatures for 3 days this past week exceeded 60 degrees. They dropped back yesterday.
Yeah.
And, of course, it depends on where you are also. The soil's going to be a little warmer in Hudsonville than it is, let's say, in Sparta.
Correct.
The point is, the timing is perfect.
Well, more than perfect. The smart money today is to get into Flowerland, get your four-step or your crabgrass product, get it down this morning or early afternoon because it's supposed to start raining around 2, 3 o'clock.
That's what I hear.
And crabgrass product has to be watered in to work correctly. So get it down, get free rain on it, and you're good to go.
Wasn't that the cable guy? Get it down.
Get her down.
I think it was get it done.
Oh, okay. 616-774-2424, our number here on the Flowerland Show. If you're interested also, what's a lot of fun is to look at the National Phenology Report. Now, phenology is essentially where they look at cyclical, seasonal changes.
I thought as they looked for where the most fun was. It's phenology.
Phenology. To animals or plants. And, of course, spring, we break dormancy. And I posted a picture of the current national map along with a link to that site. You go to Facebook Flowerland Show. So Facebook Flowerland Show, like Flowerland Show when you get there, and take a look at that map. It essentially is showing that we're running about 20 days ahead of normal for leaf out and blooming.
That's
pretty
interesting. That bus is going to slow down.
I was
going to
say, is it going to stay? That's the question.
And it's going to
slow
down.
Are you planting your tomatoes yet?
No.
Okay, so it's not here yet.
The bus is going to slow down and start creeping along.
Coming up to the studio, of course, seeing the ornamental pears in bloom. Forsythia, of course, in full bloom. The cherry trees this past week were amazing. If you want to take a look at some pictures, you can go to myflowerland.com. That's myflowerland.com. And right there, you'll see on the blog pictures that I took Thursday of many different things in bloom on April 7 or 8, whatever the day was.
I said I'd never seen the flowering crabs look so awesome as they do this year. I mean, they're so thick and full and just They're awesome looking.
And then I posted next to it, or below it rather, pictures from last year with everything snow covered. How quickly we forget, but we are certainly way ahead.
Everybody wants to forget last year. Yeah, exactly. Let's just keep moving.
Exactly. Way ahead of last year as far as blooming is concerned and things warming up. And of course, it does create some concerns. And our number is 616-774-2424. Because as we've often said, our last frost date is usually right around May 10th. And so the possibility of frost or hard frost yet, of course, still that potential is pretty high. 616-774-2424, our number here on the Flowerland Show. Also posted at thankyouverymulch.com, Reed Stories was excited this past week. It's always an indication to me that spring has sprung when the bloodroot comes into bloom. Bloodroot, just this fabulous white daisy-like flower. You snap the roots, it bleeds, it oozes like it's bleeding. They call it bloodroot. My good friend Thomas Jefferson, he called them pacoons. Pacoons.
His good friend.
Mm-hmm. And TJ liked these things because...
I can bet you in his entire life nobody called him TJ.
They bloom...
I thought we were talking about somebody else, right?
I did too.
Yeah. Most years they would bloom around his birthday, which is April 13th. And in some years, of course, they bloom earlier than that. And this year, of course, blooming. You can take a look at the bloodroot, the pictures right there at thankyouverymulch.com. So many stories to share, too. And of course, yes, the weather is big news. Maybe the bird man will fly in. Maybe we'll chat with him here shortly because the birds are just...
The ducks have returned. I have never seen such a massive amount of ducks in my life.
You see all these couples kind of walking around.
Playing,
you
know, in the street. I mean, yeah. Come on, get some smarts.
Playing
here.
In the street.
Playing in the street. There's puddles along the edge of the road, and they're playing in the puddles.
616-774-2424, our number. The turkeys, of course, get very aggressive this time of the year, too, and I guess they're having a big problem up in Charlevoix, the turkeys going after people. Just becoming very, very aggressive.
Geese aren't exactly warm and fuzzy this time of year either.
No. So we'll see if
they're all trying to, you know, defend their territory, you know.
Yeah.
If the Birdman flies in here. Fascinating story today, too, to share on squirrels, and how on some college campuses the squirrels have become addicted to French fries, and... They're analyzing this.
They're addicted to it, though?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. It's a preferred food.
Come on, let's not use the word addiction.
No.
You don't got little squirrels like sitting in a corner shaking, going, oh, God, I got to get a French fry. Oh, God, I got to get a French fry.
They have to take them to counseling and rehab.
They do.
A little rat rehab.
They're addicted to French fries, and they have determined,
with or without
based
ketchup.
On this study.
Ooh, ketchup, ranch, or mayonnaise?
Based on this study, they have determined that with the squirrels, they're better able to chew electrical wires without getting electrocuted because of the French fries.
Oh, goody. I'm so glad to hear that.
616-774-2424. Before we go to break, also want to just bring this up. You know, we usually throw something fun out there for people to chew on, and I'm going to ask
like
whether
electrical
or not,
wiring?
No. Oh. Do you like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? And it brings up a great point because I have always said peanut butter was made for celery and chocolate. Perfect combination. Celery and peanut butter, chocolate and peanut butter. Peanut butter sandwiches I can't eat because I got sick on one as a kid, and since then I can't even stomach thinking about them. However, if you have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, is it crunchy or creamy? Is it jelly or is it jam? If it's jelly or jam, what flavor is it? Like to know.
You wouldn't answer my ranch, mayonnaise, or ketchup question. I'm not answering your jelly question.
And part of the reason for bringing that up is that I was reading a study this past week that said something like 7.6 pounds per capita of peanut butter. Did you eat 7.6 pounds of peanut butter last year?
I didn't weigh it. I don't know.
I guess peanut
Reese's
butter
peanut
just
butter cups.
With the pandemic just going through the roof, demand for peanuts.
You can get in so many
peanut
forms.
Butter.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reese's,
it's just
peanut
amazing.
Butter cups.
Those are good.
Those are awesome.
7 pounds is a lot of them, though.
I know.
7 pounds of peanut butter.
I had some Reese's peanut butter eggs for Easter. I also bit all the ears off all my chocolate bunnies and then gave the bodies away.
You want to play Welcome Back, Hotter There, John, and we'll take a break here on the Flowerland
Little
Show. Our number is 616-774-2424. It's the Flowerland Show on your Saturday morning. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
Hey, Rick Veist here. Healthy plants need healthy soil, right? Well, gardeners get the best results from organic Dairy Dew, and it's available at Flowerland. Tuck your petunias, pansies, peonies, other plants into a garden bed infused with Dairy Dew. Your plants will have a root awakening, and that's a good thing. Dairy Dew is the foundation of the biggest blooms, most nutritious fruits and vegetables. So ask for it by name and enjoy the best your garden has to offer all summer long. Dairy Dew. It's available at Flowerland.
It's Open Lawn Saturday, and the Flowerland Garden Show is taking your calls now at 616-774-2424. Now more of Wood Radio's Flowerland Garden Show.
All right, Rick, Doug, Christy on your Saturday morning. Good morning to you. 616-774-2424, our number here on the Flowerland Show. Hey, look who's swooping into the nest this morning. The Birdman, Bill Stovall. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm staying grounded. Staying grounded. Yeah.
Listen, I eat a whole lot more than 7 pounds of peanut butter a year.
You like peanut butter that much, Bill?
I have frozen waffles in the morning, and I put peanut butter on my frozen waffles, and that's how I start my day.
After they're thawed, I hope.
Yeah, I put them in the toaster.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to clarify.
Back for all your pointed comments.
Do you like peanut butter and jelly, Bill?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I just have little habits, and that's my habit. I don't eat a lot of sandwiches.
See, I would think people prefer strawberry jelly with their peanut butter as opposed to grape. That combination of grape and peanut butter,
Pretty good.
I don't care.
And yet, when you buy the stuff pre-swirled in the jars at the store, it's grape and peanut butter together.
Yeah, I know. All right, so Bill, a question for you. In Charlevoix this past week, a story about these large turkeys that have, of course, a wide wingspan and can be rather loud. They're after the citizens. They're being very, very aggressive, and they're having problems there. As a matter of fact, the Charlevoix Courier said their headline was "Turkeys Terrorize Charlevoix." I'm not so sure I would use that term, but why are they so aggressive there, Birdman?
Well, it's the breeding season, and they're trying to clear the territory, and evidently they've chosen their front lawn as the territory, and that's always a conflict. But they and mute swans can really be and they had a lot of those up there, too, until it got organized a little better. But they will chase you right down, and they can bite, and they can slap you with their wings.
Wow. Wow, yeah, they're having... And you hear about that this time of the year in various communities, but that was in the news this past week. According to the DNR, those turkeys are causing trouble in Charlevoix. It's such a fun time of the year to watch birds, Bill, because one of my favorite things this time of the year is to watch these birds streaking across the sky with stuff hanging out of their beak, you know, to see what they picked up, and they're bringing it to the nest, like the tops of ornamental grasses and that sort of thing. It's always entertaining to watch that.
Oh, they're busy right now, and the cardinals are calling, and the robins are calling, and they're all fluffing their feathers. It's just an exciting time.
Yeah, it's a good time to watch them as they build their nests, and of course, you see one flying by now and then, too, with a cigarette butt in its beak. They will use those.
It's been a rough day.
Yeah.
They're happy. Listen, I talked to you yesterday afternoon, and then I was down by the shop working, and all of a sudden, quite close to me, a barred owl started to call. So they're calling in the daytime now.
During the day?
During the day. And the reason for that is that they have young, and they have to feed them. And so they have to expand the amount of hunting time that they do. So it's a busy time in the woods.
Yeah. Wow. That's something else. We should have our birdhouses up by now, right? I mean, is it too late to put up birdhouses?
It's never too late. Birds use houses year-round as shelter, but right now they're using them to make the home. But pretty soon that home will be clear, and somebody else will go in there and make another home.
So you'll have the stragglers that will come through.
Well, the daughters are always a little behind.
Yeah, they're just like us. They're looking for housing. They're looking for food.
That's,
you know,
right.
Same thing, you know.
Yeah. That's exactly right, Doug. They're looking for how to propagate the species and keep things going. And it's just a great thing to be watching.
Let me ask.
It won't be long, and the wrens will be back. And then after that, the orioles and the hummingbirds will be coming. And it's just one parade of color and song.
Yeah, let me ask you a quick question before we let you go, Birdman. Probably a dumb question, but we've been talking about the landscape being ahead of last year. Leaf out, bloom, soil temperatures. Is there such a thing with birds where the season's a little bit advanced, where we can see that spring has arrived early, or not necessarily? They don't follow a calendar, right?
Their calendar has to do with the sun. Light is one of the driving factors, but this it's a wonderful time for birds, because so often the sun brings them up here a little early, and there aren't very many insects. But because of the heat, they're really having a bonanza of food.
Yeah,
so
they can come and eat my mosquitoes.
Healthy time.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to have a lot of bugs to pick from.
I can't believe the mosquitoes were already out this past week. So
mosquitoes by your house?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I live by the river, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're welcoming you back, Christy.
Yeah, thanks.
She's glad to be back to work, Birdman.
Well, always a great time talking with you guys. And welcome back, Christy.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Thanks, Bill. Take care. The Birdman, Bill Stovall. And the birds, of course, busy and active.
As part of my spring cleaning, I cleaned out all my bird feeders nice and put fresh food in them and everything, because, you know, with the rain, it got a little icky. And I cleaned them all out and everything, and the little birds started to come to my feeder, and then the hawks came back, so now I have no more little birds.
Nothing like an icky bird feeder. Ted is calling this morning from Granville. Ted, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I really enjoy the show. I have a quick question for you. Over the holidays, we bought a Fraser fir that's potted, and then we inherited a Scotch pine, and we wanted to plant it in our yard. And just looking for some tips on how to do that, and wondering how tall they might grow.
So you got them during the holidays, and then what did you do after the holidays with the trees?
Oh, we put them on our porch.
Okay. All right. How are they looking?
They look pretty good. Yeah, we've been keeping them watered, so yeah, they look healthy.
Good. I'd get them in the ground
absolutely
soon as possible.
Yeah, plant them at the height that they're at right now, you know, whatever the depth that pot is. Probably try to put them in a little bit light, an open spot, so they get some room to grow, and then work on that.
Yeah, I'd put them in the ground this weekend, Ted, and we're going
to
get some rain.
Tend to be a little bit slower to grow until they hit about 3 to 5 years,
very
and they kind of take a little sprout. But,
and I'm assuming this was an unheated porch, right, Ted?
Just outside. Yep.
Yeah. Great. I think you're in good shape. I'd get out and do some planting.
Well, other than this weekend, you just added to my honeydew list. So thank you.
Yeah, but if you can get it done this morning, you'll get free irrigation this afternoon.
Okay. Great. All right. Well, I guess I'll change. See ya.
Good luck to you, Ted. Thank you very much. We'll take a break here on the Flowerland Show and update you with the news. More of your calls. Our number, 616-774-2424. Those pictures comparing this April to last April are right there on the blog at myflowerland.com. The pictures of the bloodroot at thankyouverymulch.com. And the phenology report on 20 days, running 20 days ahead on trees leafing out. Amazing. That's right there, Flowerland Show Facebook. Look for Flowerland on Facebook and Instagram, and thank you very much. The news is next. Stay tuned.
Woodridge. Radio's Flowerland Garden Show is on the air on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
My friend, are in for a rude awakening. It's the Flowerland Show, your Saturday morning. Rick, Doug, Christie. Make sure to visit myflowerland.com. By the way, the podcast doing really well, too, and you can get that right there at myflowerland.com. Just share it with friends and neighbors. 616-774-2424, our number on the Flowerland Show. If you're just joining us, mentioned in the first half hour, growing degree day accumulation, we're running about four times the five-year average. Soil temperatures right around 60 degrees, depending on where you are. In other words, it's not a fig leaf of your imagination. Spring has sprung. Pear trees in bloom, ornamental pears blooming over the past few days, cherries in full bloom, the hellebores. It's amazing to see the landscape come to life. All right, let's go back to very busy phone lines here, and we're going to talk to Aaron in Caledonia next. Aaron, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. How are you, Aaron?
I'm good, thanks. I'm enjoying this beautiful, beautiful weather.
Isn't it great? By the way, Aaron, before you ask your question, do you like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
If I'm in the mood for it, yeah.
Okay. And what kind of jelly? What flavor?
I have to go with grape, I got to admit.
Wow. Interesting. All right. So Score one for grape there. Aaron, what's on your mind this morning?
I wanted to ask your guys' opinions on if I've missed the window, given the earlier spring, if I've missed the window for planting fruit trees. I was thinking apples or pears or something like that.
Oh, no. We're entering prime time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're entering.
Okay, so this would be the time to start planting.
Yeah, no question. Soil temperature's warming up, Aaron, to about 60 degrees, so you'll get root activity. Of course, there's a lot going on above the ground at this time of the year, but great time to plant.
But a lot of these plants, and now it isn't like the old days where you'd taken them out of a bag or sawdust and putting them in the ground when they were dormant.
Bare root.
A lot of them are now in pots anyways, okay? Yep. So obviously this is the best time of the year because the selection is the best. But you can plant them all the way through the spring, summer, and fall. It was a great time to plant. So, the only thing with summer, you do the irrigation. But again, if you're doing bare root, we'd be talking about early planting is what is the best. But because of the way that the industry's gone and the way that the fruit trees show up, the best selection is now.
Excellent. Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'll be in to pick out some trees.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Have a great Saturday. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Randy in Spring Lake next. Randy, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Randy.
I talked to you last year in regards to my crabapple tree. After it blooms, the leaves fall off.
Mm-hmm. Yep, apple scab.
Yes, and I didn't write down. If I wrote it down, I can't find it now. The product to use on it.
Well, there's a couple of different things you can use. You can get a systemic insecticide as long as you're not going to eat the fruit or use the fruit for any kind of jams or jellies.
Right.
Then you can get a systemic disease control that you apply and it lasts for 30 days per application. That would be a BioAdvance product. Or you can use a copper fungicide for people who want to use the fruits for jams and jellies. You use a copper fungicide because that's safe for food crops and consumptions.
And then beyond the spray issues, Randy, making sure that that tree is still getting plenty of sunlight where other trees haven't overgrown it, and doing some pruning to open up the canopy for light and air movement.
And if it stays, now we're going to get a little rain, but if it stays dry, a little water. Plants under stress are more susceptible to diseases.
And you still have time to do the pruning.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah, we pruned it last year in fall, and it's a pretty tree. It's getting pretty big.
Yeah,
so clear up some of the
good, and that's what happens, and that's why you've got to prune.
But pruning interior as well, not just the out.
That's what I was just going to say.
Okay, then a good systemic fungicide is for you because you can do it once a month, for 2 to 3 months, and you'll take care of the issue for this season.
Thanks for your call, Randy. Appreciate it. Good luck with that crab tree. Joni is calling from Byron Center this morning. Joni, you're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning. I have a problem with woodpeckers drilling holes about the size of a big silver dollar.
Yes.
And the siding of the house. How do I get rid of this?
You know, out where I live, I've noticed this past spring, probably because I'm using Flowerland suet. However, I have noticed that
for woodpeckers?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're attracting them.
I'm attracting them. The red-bellied woodpeckers, the downy woodpeckers, and even pileated woodpeckers, and you can hear them drumming out in the woods.
Yes.
And, you know, we talked earlier about how things are warming up. Well, the insects are now out, and that's what they're looking for. And once they find a good spot, they tend to stick around.
That, and as Bill, as the Birdman has shared with us, they'll look for places of wood to, usually they like old dead trees, but they'll also look for wood areas to make nests, and we're in that time of year too. So, you know, they're looking for places to nest in old wood areas or in a wood area. That's where they like to build their nests, and the insect activity is up. Some people, depending on how your access is, some people will drape netting, temporarily drape some
physical
bird netting
barrier.
As a physical barrier to discourage them. Some people will use flash tape, which is like Mylar tape that reflects in the sun, which is frightening to them because it moves and it changes the light, makes them think there's predators in the area. But again, it depends on how much access you have to this area, you know, either with a ladder or hanging out a window or whatever.
A lot. We're talking the whole two sides of a house.
Yeah, see, that's going to be more difficult. But there is no magic spray or anything like that. It's going to have to be something physical.
Do you know what kind of woodpeckers they are, Joni?
No, I don't. I don't see them.
Okay.
I hear them, but I go out to look at them, and they're gone.
Yeah, and you have a cedar sighting. Is that what it is?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so the only other antidote, I guess, is to get some siding to put on the house.
Right.
Yeah, because they...
or aluminum.
They're very territorial. When they find a good spot, they're going to stick around for a while. So many times a physical barrier is necessary. You know, one thing, it may sound really dumb, and it's probably dumb, but what you could try is at an outer reach of the yard, try the suet thing, try to give them a distraction, try and give them something else to take their attention away from the siding. It's a possibility, and of course, it's always fun to watch them hanging on the suet too. You could consider trying
of course
that.
You might double your problem.
Yeah,
and exactly,
you might attract more of them.
I'm afraid of that. Exactly. I have one more question, if you can answer it. Woodchucks. How do you get rid of woodchucks under your deck?
Well, that's a difficult one, Joni. And when years ago when I lived in Byron Center, I had some woodchucks that would come out during the day.
Chucky.
I had Chucky, and he would come out during the day and lay on the patio furniture sunning himself, just thumbing his nose at me. And Christy, I tried the underground smoke bomb things, and actually they made me feel better than...
Well, and it's one of those things that woodchucks,
like I was doing something.
Woodchucks have multiple tunnels in and out of their locations. You don't always see them. So you throw something like that down in there. If you don't seal every exit, they just wander away to the next exit, wait for the smoke to clear, then come back in.
Right.
A lot of people will trap them. A lot of people will wait until they're out, that you actually physically see them leave, and then they'll pour things like gravel and sand mixes down into the holes because they don't like to dig through the stones. And that will sometimes discourage them from coming back. But that you'd have to physically see them leave in order to do that.
And that's
that
the way I did it with ours. You know, you physically just keep going back at it. More water, more gravel.
Yep, because
block it off.
They don't like to dig it. They like loose soil, so they don't like to dig in gravel or stone.
So, Doug, you're taking the frustration method.
We are.
And maybe mix in some repellent with it also.
I mean,
Have a Heart has a repellent, right?
Yep. Well, Bonide Repelzol has a really good one that works for woodchucks. Liquids and granules that work really well.
And Christy, when you say trap them, you're talking about a live trap, right?
Correct, live traps. You got to be licensed to use other traps.
Correct.
So live traps. We
just
do have
wanted
the repels,
to clarify.
Yes, we do have the Bonide Repelzol in the granular form, and the granular form lasts about 30 days. But you could sprinkle it right down into the tunnel or the hole, the opening, and that would work best once you see them leave the burrow, because that would discourage them from going back into it.
And that's a good comment too. There are services out there you could hire.
Yeah. Now there is one thing you should know. It's baby season. So even if you see mama leave the burrow, she might be encouraged to go back in if the babies are around yet.
Absolutely.
Oh, I think I'll be by your store today to pick up some of the repellent anyway.
Okay? All righty.
Thank you so much for helping us.
All right. Thanks, Joni. Appreciate it. Quick break here on the Flowerland Show. 616-774-2424 is our number. 616-774-2424. It's Rick, Doug, Christie on your Saturday morning. Stay tuned. This year, be a smarty plants. Get your garden ready with organic Dairy Dew. It's available at all three Flowerland locations. Dairy Dew compost, potting soil, and fertilizers help you create the most perfect garden bed for your healthy plants, and your garden's going to grow the most beautiful, colorful flowers, robust bushes, and flowering trees. Growing a vegetable garden, get a high yield on your tomatoes, peppers, strawberry plants with Dairy Dew from Flowerland. Healthy plants need healthy soil. Get healthy soil from Dairy Dew and your garden source, Flowerland.
If you plant it, mow it, or grow it, they know it. Now, more of Rick, Doug, and Christie and the Flowerland Garden Show on Wood Radio.
Maintain your composture. Spring has sprung. Here we go. Rick, Doug, Christie on your Saturday morning. And wow, the weather's been beautiful. Not a fig leaf of your imagination. Spring has sprung. Soil temperatures have warmed up. Air temperatures. And if you want to look at that phenology report, you can take a look at it on Facebook. Just look for Flowerland Show. The link's there also, running 20 days ahead of the average. Could be, well, you could be in Alaska. They're looking at, what is it, Fairbanks? Historic cold blast in Alaska.
You like talking about cold weather. You really like talking
because
about
somebody I don't like
who
it
hates
so
cold weather. You know, we talked about all the beautiful things in bloom. I'll tell you some beautiful, some not so beautiful things in bloom. We're getting a lot of hairy bitter crust into the starters.
Yes.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yes. And I was reminded this week that that's hairy bitter crust as in H-A-I-R-Y, not H-A-R-R-Y.
Yeah, it's not the guy hairy. It's hairy like your head.
Harry Bittercrest was my phys ed instructor in high school.
And he was mean.
Yeah, he was mean. John is calling us from Grand Rapids next. John, good morning. You are on the Flowerland Show. Hello, good morning, John. Are you there? Let's put him on hold here a minute, and we will try next. Charles in Walker. Charles, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Morning. Start off, I like peanut butter mayonnaise and banana sandwiches.
Aha! Peanut butter, mayonnaise,
and banana.
And
that's an Elvis thing.
You don't like any of it, do you?
It wasn't Elvis Presley thing.
Like that. Yeah. I bought a couple American persimmon trees about 4 years ago, and I planted them up in Newaygo County on my property. And they just seem to be stay bushes, and they die off every winter, and then the spring. But I noticed they're both female on the tags. Do I have to get a male tree to go with them?
Well, first of all, as far as growing zone is concerned for persimmon trees or American persimmon trees, the USDA plant hardiness on those is zones 4 through 9. So they should be able to tolerate temperatures down to 25 below and not have as significant dieback.
Yeah, but it's considered a southern tree.
It is considered a southern tree, exactly. So it's interesting how much dieback you're getting. How far do you have to prune them back in spring?
Well, they die back to the ground, and their growth is coming
to the ground.
From the ground.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't cut them back any at all. They just seem to, the old branches just seem to die off and new ones come up.
Okay. All right. What about the pollination on those, Doug?
Some are self-pollinating, so I guess it would be the varieties that you have.
He's got two plants labeled female, though. That almost leads you to believe that he'd need a male.
Yeah, exactly. So it's possible that the trees you got, I would check where you got those trees and determine whether or not they're self-pollinating trees.
I bought them at the sports show. I ordered them through the sports show about 4 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So really no way of going back and determining that. So it may make sense just to add another tree to help with the pollination issue. But of course, if you're getting that significant a dieback,
it's going to be very doubtful that you'll ever get to the point where you'll pollinate.
So I think that's a bigger issue.
Does flower baskets sell the persimmon trees?
We do not.
No, more of a southern tree, and because of that dieback. But good luck to you, and thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Luke calling from Rockford next. Luke, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Hey, yeah, good morning. There was a lady called in a few minutes ago that had woodpeckers drilling in the side of her house. Mm-hmm. And last year, my dad bought a cedar-sided house about a mile up the road from me, and he's a snowbird, so he took off after getting settled in. And then as I was taking care of things, I noticed two or three woodpecker holes, about like a half dollar. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh boy. So I got the ladder out and poked some newspaper in there and some wood filler to fill in the holes. And then a week later, more. So I thought, oh, I'd better get online and start figuring out what mm-hmm. the deal is. So yep. I learned a whole lot about what to do, and the suggestions earlier were spot on about the Mylar tape and the flashy stuff. I didn't do the netting, but I hung some like shiny, crafty ribbon that my wife had.
Mm-hmm.
And then another side, they still did a little bit of damage. So what I did was I read online that you could use balloons. So I actually had on two sides of my dad's house, I had six or eight pieces of shiny ribbon with balloons hanging, and the balloons would sway in the wind.
Yeah, you know, the neighbors wonder what in the world
it's
you're doing, Luke, and
it's
a party.
Party.
Yeah, you just tell them it's a graduation party, and then you move along.
I picked green and yellow and red, and so it looked like a fun time. And the neighbors are probably wondering, who's this new guy that moved in here? But it's after two or three days, the balloons, because of the wood siding, they would pop. And so great idea. I blow up the balloons, and then I took packing tape, and I wrapped packing tape around the balloons. And so they lasted for probably 3 weeks or a month with the packing tape on there. So,
well, anyway, and then eventually they died to move along.
The woodpeckers quit drilling, and so I guess that's my suggestion is to use the flashy ribbon.
Thanks for sharing with us, Luke. I appreciate that. Yes, it works. It really does. You've just got to go through
the process. It's not an instant fix, but within a few days, it starts to discourage them.
John or the Mulch Man is next. Good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Top of the morning to you, Rick. Good to have the gal back in house.
Thank you.
Christy. Hey, Rick, I've called a time or two before. Just a lot of people are busting on now their mulch or the residential, commercial, whatever. I do see a few common mistakes. You probably have commented on them in the past, but a lot of people put it on too thick. Particularly around the tree rings, they make the volcanoes, which is going to inhibit the tree moving forward.
Well, exactly, and it does a lot of damage to trees, and that's a good point. And I'm seeing that out there, too, because people are busy mulching. And again, if you have mulch up against tissue that's accustomed
less
to being dry,
exactly.
So a good point. Exactly. I agree.
Oops.
We lost him
something.
There. All right. 616-774-2424. Our number here on the Flowerland Show. Vicki is calling from Lowell next. Vicki, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Vicki. How are you?
Good. Thanks. I was listening and I heard your suggestions for woodpeckers that mm-hmm. are maybe away from a house or attacking a house.
Yes.
We actually have, I believe, some nut hatches that are putting holes in our vinyl siding.
Mm-hmm. Well, they nut hatches are very, very active. They're fun to watch. But they're very agile and they're very active. And you're right. They have a huge appetite for insects. They love insects. So that does not surprise me. That they would do that. As a matter of fact, think about where they get their name from. They jam these large nuts and acorns into tree bark, and then they They smack them with their sharp bill to kind of hatch out the seeds, and that's why they call them nut hatches. So, yeah, they can be pretty aggressive.
Now, the good news is with vinyl siding, you could get a natural or organic insecticide and spray it up under the edge of your vinyl siding to get rid of the bugs that they're after. Because, like, Doug and I were discussing, okay, ants are really active now, and ants like to hide, ants and earwigs and other small insects like to hide up under the edge of vinyl siding where it's cool and damp. And so you could get something like a neem or an insecticidal soap product that has a short residual, isn't harmful to kids and pets, and you could spray that up under your siding, and that would get rid of the insects that they're after.
Okay. So they're more than likely not going there to try to find a place to build a nest.
No.
Looking for a place to get something to eat.
Yeah, most likely they're searching for insects. And if you think about it, too, in early spring, it can be rather chilly.
Yep.
Well, on a sunny day, that siding warms up and the insects moving.
Really,
you know, it's a great place, yeah, for them to seek them out. So that would not surprise me, and I would think that it's temporary.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. This is a new development this spring for us. So
there's going to be a lot of those this year because of the weather.
Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
It's amazing, too. All of a sudden, you see, where'd the stink bug come from? It's been harboring all winter someplace.
Been hanging
out
all winter.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it comes out, but there's lots of those kind of insects hanging out on
2 years
the
ago,
house.
I brought all the plants in from the deck, and about a month later, we had a frog jumping around in the kitchen because it came out of one of the plants.
616-774-2424, our number here on the Flowerland Show. Dandelions are in bloom. We should talk about those a moment in the next hour also.
I haven't
dandelions.
Seen any yet. I gotta
that
look.
Seems really early.
We'll take a different approach because I'm sure, Christy, you're trying to get rid of the dandelions. I love dandelions. They're delicious.
But you don't like
salad.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Right. No peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't
rather
like
eat dandelions.
Either.
Yeah, I know. But he likes dandelions.
Yeah, well, that tells you a lot, okay?
The news is next. Another hour. The Flowerland Show coming your way. Stay tuned. Here to News Radio, Wood 1300, 106.9 FM. Sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world
outside. These guys have been decomposing for years. The Flowerland Garden Show is playing live on News Radio, Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
All right, my friends, it's the Flowerland Show, second hour. Rick, Doug, Christie, left to right across your radio dial. Engineer, producer extraordinaire, John Ilk at the controls, and Dusty Miller behind the glass. She'll take your call, 616-774-2424. As we mentioned in the first hour, spring has sprung. Growing degree day accumulation way ahead of the five-year average. Soil temperatures are warm. What does that mean to us? Well, it means this. First of all, it's gorgeous outside.
Yes.
Everything's blooming. Secondly, let's get to work.
Well, that's it. And if you've fallen in love with one of those awesome flowering trees you see around the neighborhood, shopping early is better because trees are one of those things you can't just shove it in a manufacturing line and pop it out in a couple weeks. Trees take time to grow and live. So if you fall in love with something and you want it bad, now is the time to get it while it's available.
Wow, that was beautiful.
It is.
That was beautiful.
If you seriously, if
language.
I want a red flowering crab, I'm going to go get it right now. It's beautiful.
616-774-2424 here on the Flowerland Show. Make sure to visit myflowerland.com. On the blog there, posted pictures from this week of all the many things that are now in the landscape. And as we mentioned, it's on Flowerland Show Facebook, the Phenology Report. 20 days ahead of where we normally are.
I'm already trying to eyeball the orphan plants that pop up in fields and along the roadside so I know where to go and
you
dig.
You still got that shovel?
Yep.
Oh.
Bucket and shovel.
Christy.
Well, they're right. Orphans. Somebody's got to take care of them.
She has her own unique language. I'm reminded of that again this morning. I got a good word of the day for you. This is the word of the day. It's a great word of the day. Before we go back to our phone lines, and again, the number is 616-774-2424. The word of the day is Sprachgefühl. There you go.
It sounds like you're trying to clear your throat. Sprachgefühl.
Sprachgefühl.
Hocus
pocus.
It's kind of an intuitive feeling for language. you have this intuitive feeling for language.
I got an intuitive feeling right now. Would you like to know what it is?
Sprache fuel. Christy, put it away. Boy, it's been nice for how many weeks not to have that rifle existed. Go off here in the studio. 616-774.
It solves your woodpecker problems, your woodchuck problems, bunnies, deer.
All right.
If you're really good chipmunks.
But I live in the city. How can you do that?
If you're really good chipmunks. Yeah. Those things are small and they're fast.
Christy, we want to remind people that today would be a good day to...
put down crabgrass preventer because we are at the perfect point now to get it down. This is the peak part of the season. We always try to tell people right around the April 15-ish window because that's when we're getting into that peak point. But the great thing about today is if you get out there earlier, you know, today before around 2 o'clock or so, you can get the product down, and then we're going to get some rain. And crabgrass preventer, in order to be effective, has to be watered in. That's the key. Most people who say, I put it down every year and it doesn't work, it's because it doesn't get watered in. So here's your chance to do it easy and right.
Absolutely. 616-774-2424, our number. Dan from Grand Rapids is calling in next here on the Flowerland Show. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Hey, I just thought I'd give the two fun guys and the crackpot a call because I have a real morale dilemma.
Not much room for improvement there.
I'm leaving.
So I've been trying to find morale mushrooms for ages, and I really stink at it. So do you look for soil temperature?
It's morale season right now.
Yeah, well, generally, morale season is in May, but
early this year. I have neighbors who are avid mushroomers, and they are bringing them out of the woods right now.
Well, if you think about it, the fruiting period is from late April until mid-June, but a lot of it is just like real estate, location, location, location. And, Dan, the problem is the people who know where they are.
I ain't going to tell you.
They're not talking.
Yeah, I know that too well.
It's not like you can get on that old internet there and look up a morel mushroom map because
nobody talks on it.
They keep it to themselves. But now would be the time to start looking. And usually around, rotted trees out in woodland areas, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Warm and wet conditions are best.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have a patch that's in an area of old dead wood along the creek, and they come up every year.
Yeah, and if you think about the weather that we've had so far this spring, or at least in the past week and this coming week, you combine warm with wet, and it's morel mushroom season. Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Dan, the morel of the story is keep trying, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, and thank you.
Why did I come back?
For all
to enjoy your Saturday mornings.
Oh. No, I was enjoying my Saturday mornings. Why did I come back?
For all the Sprache fuel that goes on around here. 616.
I hate it when that gets on your shoes. It's really hard to get off.
Sprache fuel. 616-7.
The way he says it, he spits on me. I just.
It's great. It's language.
Sprache fuel.
I love it. Before we go to break, and then we'll get to the calls that Dusty Miller is lining up. I mentioned this earlier, but University of Nebraska, they are having problems there with this past winter with rolling blackouts. Power goes out, and it's due to squirrels, and they determined that the squirrels were chewing on these wires, but they can gnaw through copper wire without being electrocuted. And one of their theories is they suspect squirrels' body fat, courtesy of the fast food French fries that they are constantly fed.
Oh, let's blame it on fast food.
Protects them from electricity. The blackouts.
What about the squirrels who don't have any personal control?
They're not calling it a crisis. They're calling it a frisis.
A frisis.
But the squirrels are chewing through grill hoses and electrical lines and causing all kinds of problems because I guess for some reason, from time to time, they have a French fry shortage.
Well,
there.
Did it ever occur to them that squirrels are just stupid and that's why they do those things?
This one student says, I think the squirrels can hear the sound of the bag. They can hear
the crinkle of the bag.
Yeah. So
we used to sit out at the park and throw French fries to the garbage gulls, and they'd catch them in midair like they were worms. So that was kind of cool. See, we've created monsters. We've created monsters.
They're saying when they don't feed them the fries, the greasy fries, that's when they attack and chew electrical wires and grill hoses and all that stuff.
So well, then they're protesting.
They're protesting. We'll take a break here on the Flowerland Show, then get to more of your calls. Make sure to visit myflowerland.com. Share the podcast with friends and neighbors. Look at the blog. You can go to my personal site, too, thankyouverymulch.com. I've got a story posted there of bloodroot in bloom right now. Love it. It's a sign of spring. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
If you plant it, mow it, or grow it, they know it. Now, more of Rick, Doug, and Christy and the Flowerland Garden Show on Wood Radio.
Okie dokie, artichokey, here we go. The Flowerland Show, your Saturday morning. Let's get right back to very, very busy phone lines. And we're going to talk to John in Grand Rapids. John, good morning. You are on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning. How are you all today? Welcome back, Christy.
Thank you so much.
So, hey, a couple things. But first, you just had a morel person call.
Yeah.
And the I see people out there hunting morels with plastic bags. Don't do that. You need to use a mesh bag.
Good point.
So that the little spores can fall to the ground.
Great,
there you go.
Great public service message, John. Thank you very much.
Pinching makes that much difference because I'm not sure the spore comes back every year, but you guys know more about that. But definitely need to use the mesh bags.
Good point.
So there's more for the rest of us later.
Well done. So,
and I have them available with a small tracking chip in them that we don't tell people about.
Call now. Operators standing by.
Yeah. I have a yard weed. It has a small, it's already blooming, it's already up, it's very early in the year, and I always kind of liked it because it was pretty and I never really have bothered with it before, but as weeds do, it's spreading. And it comes up very early, it blooms, by the time you mow the second time, it's gone. It has a yellow flower, a smallish, three-quarter inch, maybe its largest diameter, sometimes looks like a variegated leaf. And
is it fuzzy-leaved?
Pardon me?
And the leaves fuzzy?
Doesn't really look like it, but I'd have to double check.
Interesting.
And I mean, the yard gets the standard weed and feed, but this is already gone by that time. So I don't know if I just spray it with a regular broadleaf stuff at this time of year. Or...
So we're definitely talking about a winter annual.
Right, because it would have actually sprouted last fall and lived through the winter as just the leafy part.
Okay.
Yellow flower at this time of year is not... I can't think of anything super common. You're too
early. It's almost
early.
Like a little miniature marsh marigold in a way.
Hmm. It's too early for ground ivy to be flowering. You're not looking at pineapple weed. You're not looking at black medic this early on.
No, too early for black medic.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll have to take a picture of it.
Yeah. If you can get a shot of it and send it to us or bring a sample into one of the stores, we can get it identified for you. I'm just trying to think. There's a lot of stuff with white flowers out there right now that's commonly seen at this time of year, but yellow flowers, especially if it sometimes has a variegated leaf, that's a little bit odder.
What about yellow?
Okay. Well, I don't want to kill it yet. Maybe it's something more cool than I think.
What about yellow rocket? I'd look that one up. It could be yellow rocket. At least Google it, take a look, see whether or not that's it. And send us a picture. But
Christy mentioned small white flowers. I have that one too, but more in the gardens. And there doesn't seem to be enough leaf on that to have a herbicide really have.
Well, the leaves are really low to the ground, and they tend to grow very, very flush with the ground and be very short and tiny.
Okay.
And the best way in a garden to control that is to put down a weed preventer, because that little flower is going to drop seeds right now.
Right.
And those things are going to be the plant for next year. So if you put a weed preventer in your garden, you avoid that problem.
Okay.
John, I just quick looked it up, and along that same life cycle and pattern with hairy bittercress, they do mention yellow rocket. So take a look at that, okay?
I will check it out. Thanks, y'all. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, John. 616-774-2424, our number here on the Flowerland Show. Lisa's calling from Grand Haven. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Welcome back, Christy.
Thank you so much.
I have a question. When you put your suet out, how long do you leave it in the heat? I don't want to make my birds sick. I took it down when we hit the 70-degree temps, and they're still coming to it. I set it on the porch.
Okay.
Can you make the birds sick, or do they have a pretty high tolerance?
They have a pretty high tolerance. I think, you know, if it's taking that long for them to consume the suet, are these like suet chunks, or are they the prepackaged squares?
Oh, no, it's the real stuff.
Yeah, the real stuff. All right. So you do have to be careful with that, Lisa, and that's smart, because as far as the real chunks are concerned, they can start to get a fungus, and generally we use that in the wintertime or when the temperatures are cold. So I think you're smart for discontinuing that once the weather gets up to 70 degrees or warmer.
Okay.
I think that that's wise. And then you may want to convert over, you know, at Flowerland, we sell those square blocks. I use those. They consume them rather quickly. You may want to use those in the spring, summer season. You can go back to that suet in the winter.
Okay, that's great info. And by any chance, do you happen to know, do robins pair up the next year, the same ones? Because I'm pretty sure I have the same one. She's making her nest on the porch in the same spot. The male, he sits back on the fence, and you can get really close to him.
Yeah.
And I just know that they are the same pair. Are they known to do that?
I believe that is the case with robins. However, if you look at these various sites like the Cornell site, they say no, robins do not mate for life. Pairs usually remain together during an entire breeding season, which can involve a few nestings. But from year to year, most sites will tell you no, they do not mate for life. Some cardinals do, as I understand it, but not robins.
Yeah. And doves?
Yes, exactly.
But I know that I know, because she just knows that that's the same spot, and she wasn't afraid at all, you know, because sometimes they kind of wait around a little bit. She made that nest. She's almost done with it now, and the male's sitting there, and it's just like, you know that that's the same bird, because they know you.
So what you're saying is the woman's doing all the work and the guy's just sitting around doing nothing.
Christy.
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now in my cherry tree.
I'm sure he's flying back and forth with all kinds of stuff in his beak to pack that nest.
Fermented cherries, fermented berries.
And that nesting is in there, and now she's just hanging some pictures on the wall and getting things to look really nice.
So. I usually get two batches a year, and 2 years ago, the first batch, there were five babies in that nest, and all of them survived.
Awesome. Isn't it an awesome thing? It's great. Fun to watch. Thanks for your call, Lisa. Appreciate that. 616-774-2424. Our number here on the Flowerland Show. We're going to talk next to Trish in Standale. Trish, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My dad had an ash tree that was old when he was 5 years old, and he just recently passed away at 94. He has kept it alive by putting something around the trunk of the tree. Yes. On the ground in the spring.
Tree and shrub drench. Ash trees are prone to emerald ash borer, as we've had a history of it. It's wiped out right now in April. And then again, some people will do it as a precaution again in September. But for sure, right now in April, what you want to get is a systemic tree and shrub drench.
And you
pour tree and shrub drench, and you pour that at the base of the tree, depending on the size of the tree is how much you need to use, but you pour that at the base of the tree, and the tree takes it up through its root system into the plant and helps protect it from that borer.
Okay, and spell the last word. You said tree and shrub what?
Drench, D-R-E-N-C-H.
Kind of what's going to happen to us when we run to the car this afternoon.
We're going to get a drench.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You, Trish. 616-774-2424, our number here on the Flowerland Show. Make sure to visit myflowerland.com. Also, look for Flowerland on Facebook and Instagram. Dick is calling from Muskegon next. Good morning, Dick. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning. How are you?
staying grounded. What's going on?
Hey, well, first of all, the most important thing is Raisin Toast, peanut butter, and bacon is a sandwich. Toasted, though. Toasted raisins.
Really?
So I've had Raisin Toast with peanut butter, but never bacon. Yeah.
So Raisin Toast toasted with bacon and peanut butter.
Jiffy.
Gotta and it's got to be Jif.
And I make Raisin Toast and pick all the raisins out of it because I don't like the taste of raisins.
Dick, I want to ask, how long have you been eating this?
I've been kind of picky, so it doesn't really make any difference.
How long have you been
working in an orchard, you know, picky? So
yeah, very good. How long have you been eating this this delicacy?
About 400 pounds ago.
Wow. Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. So, no, it's really good. So I've got to watch it because of the sodium, but other than that, it's a real treat.
All right. Sounds good. So you had a question for us this morning?
Yes, and it's in regard to fruit trees. Mm-hmm. I have a pear tree as well as a peach tree and then four apples, Honeycrisp and Fuji.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is the pruning aspect and the proper time to spray them and how often.
All right, let's talk about that a minute. The pruning, of course, generally we recommend doing that during the dormant season when the trees are dormant. Most trees have broken dormancy last week. You could prune if you had to, right, Doug?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just probably not ideal, but you could. Spraying?
Okay.
We don't want to spray while they're in bloom.
Correct. That's about the only time. You wait until what we have now is what they call, we're beyond green tip, that they have opened up. So you could start spraying now. Pears are a little bit different. There's special instructions for pears because of the thin skin they have. But most fruit trees, especially apples, once the leaves break, you can spray up to the point where the flowers start to come on. You wait until after the petals fall off, and then you resume spraying.
And the beautiful thing, Christy, I've read the labels on those bottles at Flowerland stores, and they're really great in giving you guidance on how often to spray step by step.
And for people who want something natural, we have the orchard spray. And for people who want something more traditional, we have the regular fruit tree spray.
Yeah, and the
okay, then how often on the apple trees?
It's gonna tell you about every 10 days to 2 weeks you're going to hit them.
So the apples and peaches are going to require more spraying, the pears not so much.
Correct.
Now, you said a pear. Do you have two pears?
One pear.
You need two, okay?
I need two? Yeah, because I got a ton of pears on it last year.
Good.
So.
I'm confused. Does he have one pear or does he have one tree or two trees?
One tree.
Okay, I was confused. One pair.
Generally, you need two, so you get pollination from someplace else. Remember, too, also the pruning is different on a peach tree than it is an apple and a pear. So you might want to do a little research on that.
Well, what concerns me is that
I'll tell you what, Dick. We'll pick up the line here in the bottom of the studio. I'm up against the bottom of the hour. We're going to update you with the news here on the Flowerland Show. We got another half hour coming up. We'll squeeze in as many calls as we can. As spring has arrived and Christy's returned here on the Flowerland
Show. Like the birds from Capistrano.
There you go. The news is next. Stay tuned.
If you plant it, mow it, or grow it, they know it. Now more of Rick, Doug, and Christy and the Flowerland Garden Show on Wood Radio.
Don't operate by the seat of your plants. We're here for you. Rick Veist here, Doug Christie, seated alongside engineer, producer extraordinaire John Ilk and Dusty Miller behind the glass. Let's open up Dusty's mic over there a minute because I've got a question.
Oh, and I think I have an answer.
Just make one up if you don't. He won't know the difference.
I think I know.
Well, we waited with this until Christie came back, but someone had shared with me that cauliflower peeps are now a thing. Peeps made from
I have not seen
cauliflower.
Those, and I am so
That's
glad
right.
I haven't.
Can you believe it? Do you like Dusty?
No. No, thank you.
Oh,
no. Maybe.
Would you eat Raisin Toast with mayonnaise and bananas or whatever? Bacon.
Not, Not a fan of raisins at all.
Thank you.
Yeah, how long does it take to pick the raisins out of your toast? That's what I want to know.
It's very calming in the morning. It's very calming.
I'm going to tell you what's hot. What's hot? Avocado toast.
Love
gross.
It.
Gross.
Yes.
Where you take avocado and you smash it and put it on the toast.
Love avocados.
Yeah,
yes.
Me too.
Yep.
I don't want anything that looks like it comes out of a baby's body from either
oh,
end.
Oh, Kristen.
That's disgusting.
It's so good for you.
It's delicious and it's very good
Omega,
for you.
Yep.
I recommend the avocado toast.
Yep.
You.
I put it on my turkey and ham tomato sandwich too, avocado.
Mm-hmm. Delicious. All right.
And so, I love peanut butter. Jif, creamy.
But will you eat jelly with the peanut butter?
Yes, it's got to be grape, it's got to be jam, and it's got to be 7-grain wheat bread, too.
The best way to eat peanut butter is either hollowing out a cucumber
I
into
had
a canoe.
This Easter.
Or putting peanut butter on celery. That's
yes.
the way to eat.
Peanut. Right there with you, Rick. Yep.
All right, thank you.
The best way to eat peanut butter is to take a spoon and dig in the jar and then lick it off the spoon.
616-774-2424. It's the Flowerland Show, your Saturday morning. All right, very busy phone lines. Keep them coming. Give Dusty Miller a call.
Get over microwave some peeps on the
explore. 774-2424. Make sure to visit myflowerland.com. Look at those pictures on the blog. Interesting. The snow that we had last year. It was so cold.
Nobody cares. That was last year.
I know.
This is a new year. A new day is dawning.
This year, we're just running way ahead. It's
That's right.
All right. Let's see. Looking at the phone lines here, we're going to talk to Stacy in Muskegon next. Stacy, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a deer problem, and my neighbors told me to use motion-activated sprinklers to try to keep them away from flowers, but I was afraid I was going to give my lawn service a shower every time they visited, so I didn't want
And
to
you
that.
Will. You can temporarily deactivate them while mowing and that type of stuff is going on.
Yeah, well, if I'm home.
Well, otherwise, it's a good practical joke. Just think you could win what's that show where they give you $10,000 for a good video? You could win.
Yeah. So instead of going the water sprinkler approach, I decided to go for motion-activated, high-frequency sound and flashing lights. And they're solar-powered, but they also can be charged with a USB port. And I put them out there. And I put a potted tulip to test them because I know that deer consider tulips to be cocaine.
Yes.
And I also put a bar of Irish Spring soap out there because I've been told that deer don't like Irish Spring soap. So the good news is the last couple nights the tulips have survived. The bad news is my Irish Spring soap disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
Who would take my soap?
Oh. Well, raccoons will run off with it in a heartbeat.
They'll run off with it, and it smells good. And that's why, generally, it's recommended, Stacy, that
shave
you use a cheese grater.
Yep, and you shave it.
And then
it.
You shave it first, and that also improves its performance. But good luck, because...
deer adapt to sounds and
sprinklers
movement.
And
yeah, the thing with the sprinklers is that it only goes off when they walk past it, but even those have to be moved around. After a while.
And Stacy, out on the lakeshore, I ended up putting up a fence because they come up to the door and they ring the doorbell and ask for more. It's just crazy. They look at you like, what's your problem, buddy? They don't even run when I walk towards them. So it's crazy. It's Deer Park Funland. Remember that place? It's Deer
Still
Park
there.
Funland every day.
Oh, yeah. That's what we used to put corn in little kids' pockets and shove them into the deer enclosure.
Oh my!
Little kid running around screaming, "Why are they chasing me?"
Stacy, do me a favor and keep me posted on your progress with this project, okay?
Okay, I will do. But do you know who would have taken my Irish Spring soap?
The raccoons. Raccoons love Irish Spring.
They
like the smell of it. It's weird.
Yeah, it would not surprise me. Probably had a great hot shower last night.
Well, I'll try the cheese grater. The good news is. We still get to see the deer visit us at the back of the yard, and it hasn't deterred the birds from coming to our bird feeder. So we do get to still enjoy seeing the wildlife. But so I want to see if my flowers survive better.
That's great. We've had folks who have called in here, experts who who use the cheese grater on the soap, and then they put the soap in nylon stockings, ladies' nylon stockings, and then hang them in various areas.
Because that's attractive.
And that's attractive. Yeah. Your neighbors will soon be complaining, but yes. And, okay. And what you tell them, Stacy, is the buck stops here, all right?
Oh, gee. Oh.
Take care.
We really enjoy your show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Kathy calling from Sparta this morning. Kathy, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kathy.
Glad you're back, Christy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. Just wondering if it's too late to trim a limelight hydrangea.
No, it is not. They will bloom on new and old wood, so it's not too late.
It may cut your blossoms in half, but it's not too late.
No, I don't think so. I think it'll be fine. But
yeah. I think you're good to go.
And the hydrangeas, they don't wake up as early as forsythias and lilacs either, so they're still a little on the dormant side.
And for people keeping score at home, remember there are many different types of hydrangeas, and the limelight that Kathy's referring to is a panicled hydrangea. So I would agree with Doug, Kathy. If you've got some pruning to do, go ahead and do it.
Okay, and then I have plant tone and holly tone from Flowerland.
Holly tone. Use the holly tone.
Holly tone.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy.
Have a great day.
You too. Have a great weekend. 616-774-2424. Our number here on the Flowerland Show. Teresa's calling from Grand Rapids. Teresa, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Hi.
Hello, Teresa.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yes, I have a question about boxwoods. I have a front porch. It has southern exposure, morning, afternoon sun, evening shade. My steps are just two steps up, and then I have a porch with no railing. But I want to put some boxwoods there. But I'm looking for something that's small and keeps a roundedness shape that doesn't get too tall.
Yeah, so green velvet's the one I'd probably recommend, okay?
Green velvet.
Yeah, the round shape's going to be, up to you. But as far as the compaction, the smaller, that's the variety I would go with. Being on the south side, though, you are going to have a little bit more winter exposure. So you may want to either put like a wilt stop for the winter or even a burlap or cover if snow covers them, that's great. But you may have a little bit of a winter burn. And most time they do grow out of it, but it takes a while. So
okay. There's another one that was, it's called the winter gem or something.
Yeah, winter gem's going to get a little bit bigger. It's going to be a little bit more open, okay? It isn't going to be as tight as that green velvet.
Oh, okay.
But it's okay. It's a close relative of the green velvet. So,
So green velvet would be the best.
Yep.
For what you're doing, yeah, that sounds about ideal.
Something nice and tight, something that's going to stay round.
Small.
That's what I would recommend. Yep.
Teresa, thanks for your call. We appreciate it, and good luck to you. Enjoy. Dave calling from Norton Shores, or North Shores, I believe. Dave, good morning. You're on the Flowerland Show.
Good morning, guys and girls. How are you doing?
Great.
Staying grounded. What's going on?
I have got a question about the hairy bittercress.
Mm-hmm.
Do I still have you?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. My question is, I've done just a little research on it, and it says use a pre-emergence in mid to late summer. Now, is that similar to a crabicide, a crabgrass pre-emergence, or is there another product? Or
their crabicide pre-emergence are very similar, but there is a product that we carry called Weed Beater Complete.
Okay.
And that is often applied in late summer or early fall for not only hairy bittercress, but also for like annual bluegrasses and those types of weedy plants that come back from seed. The idea is you're going to keep that seed from germinating because that seed will drop and overwinter as a little plant, and then it flowers again next spring, which starts the whole process over again.
Copious amounts of mustard
seed. Every year in the last 3 or 4 years,
yep,
it's gotten worse and worse, and I try hand pulling it, and right now it's fairly easy to pull, but there are thousands.
The upside is it's delicious and it's nutritious. So keep that in mind.
Rick's offering to come over and chew it out of your grass.
he's a neighbor just the other side of town, so he's welcome to come anytime.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Bye.
All right. Bye. 616-774-2424. If we could just get people to do that in the fall, the pre-emerge.
I thought you meant chew it out of their lungs.
No. After the show.
But you forget about it because it's been so long.
Once the flower disappears, nobody remembers it was there.
Exactly.
That's why we're here year-round. The Flowerland Show. Get ready to sing and more of your calls right after the break. Stay tuned.
But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry.
Rick Veist here reminding you to be a smarty plants. That's right. Get your garden ready with organic Dairy Dew. It's available at all three Flowerland locations. Dairy Dew compost, potting soil, and fertilizers will allow you to create the most perfect garden bed for your healthy plants. And your garden's going to grow the most beautiful, colorful flowers and robust bushes, flowering trees. And hey, if you're growing a vegetable garden, get a high yield on your tomatoes, your peppers, your strawberry plants with Dairy Dew from Flowerland. Healthy plants need healthy soil. Get healthy soil from Dairy Dew and your garden source, Flowerland.
Wood Radio's Flowerland Garden Show is on the air on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, folks, as we've reminded you all morning long, when you look at the soil temperatures, you look at the air temperatures, look at the rain that we're getting, spring 2021 has certainly arrived. And we look forward to celebrating it with you here on the Flowerland Show. Don't forget the Flowerland Show podcast. Find it at myflowerland.com. Share it with friends and neighbors. Folks do every week, and we thank you. Thank you very much. Put a smile on your face. Spring has arrived. Let's sing together as we do every week here on the Flowerland Show. Let's hear you. My friends, you sound wonderful this morning. All right, looking at the news here real quickly in the garden, both of these stories come from England. Lara Ann Peters was digging in her garden, putting in a fence post, and suddenly 30-foot deep void, a hole. That happens a lot in England for some reason. And they're not quite sure why
it's
there. She put
the post in the hole and it disappeared.
It just disappeared. And there's some guy with some kind of protest going on there along the River Thames there in England who's a mystery person who's just cutting down trees with a chainsaw, live trees, and then they find them cut just laying there. Dozens of trees have been cut down along the River Thames. No one knows who's doing it. They call it the Chainsaw Massacre, and they're looking for this culprit who appears to be operating under the cover of darkness.
You think they could hear this?
I was
going to
say,
song.
You could hear the chainsaw. He's an
environmentalist. It's dark.
He's an environmentalist. He's using an electric chainsaw.
I have a tough enough time just starting a chainsaw. All right, Don in Byron Center is up next. Don, good morning. You are on the Flowerland Show.
Thanks for taking my call. You know, and I first have to tell you that I was really torn between asking a shotgun shell question or a flower question. And since Christy's on the wrong show, I'm going to ask the flower question.
Oh, thank you, Don. Appreciate that.
Hey, what is your recommendation for a flowering plant to put around my mailbox? You know, it's not the best stuff. I'll amend the soil and everything like that. But, you know, it's got to be rather drought tolerant, plenty of sun.
Well,
and
let me
I've got underground sprinkling.
All right. Let me tell you,
Don. I've been struggling with it for years.
Let me tell you. First of all, I go out running through neighborhoods, and I'm amazed at the number of people who have these immaculate plantings around their mailbox, but nothing by the house. It's crazy. And I wonder why we want to dress up the mailbox the way we talk about doing that. Because, Don, I would say the answer to your question, what would be best to plant, is really contingent on who you ask. For example, if you ask the mailman or the mail lady, they'll say, please, nothing flowering because I'm sick of getting stung, right? So you want to keep your mail but beyond that, yeah, the sky's the limit. And you will see many people who will plant clematis because they love the cool feet and hot tops. And clematis is a beautiful plant for a mailbox post. But there's a multitude of plants.
Yeah, and most people, the go-to plants are going to be sedums and grasses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those
ornamental
are ornamental grasses.
I guaranteed that nothing will ever happen to my mailbox planting. I put two big yuccas, one on either side of the mailbox. Even the snowplow can't kill them.
But there are drought-tolerant plants that don't flower that would look really nice around and dress up that mailbox.
If you want to try something flowering, have you tried clematis before, Don?
No.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
I might try that.
And then as far as annuals are concerned, if you're going to plant some flowering annuals out there, I have found Gomphrena works really, really great. Talk about drought tolerant. The deer and rabbits will leave it alone. Gomphrena. If you're keeping score at home, I'll give a close shot here. Gomphrena. Gomphrena. Love that plant. There's many different varieties of it. We carry it at Flowerland in season in May. That's a beautiful flowering. And then a lot of people will use Nepeta. Nepeta is a perennial which blooms for a long period of time, can handle drought, can handle heat, would be really pretty. Nepeta, that's spelled N-E-P-E-T-A. Nepeta. Okay?
All right. Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Don. Appreciate that. 616-774-2424, our number here on the Flowerland Show. Pat's calling from Kentwood. Hey, Pat, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Nice to hear Christy back.
Thank you.
Stand grounded, Pat. What's going on?
Well, I have rabbits, and I'm wondering what you recommend for the best repellent. I'm getting ready to plant some lily bulbs.
Christy, stop it.
They just seem to devour anything I put in the ground.
The best repellent is to pick two different ones and alternate them. Repellents work great. They work on taste and smell. But what you want to do is make sure that the rodent doesn't get used to it. That's the key.
The rodent?
Well, it works the same for squirrels and rabbits and raccoons.
That's hair raising.
So you use one for a couple, they last generally about 3 to 4 weeks. So you use one for a couple of applications, then you switch to a different one for a couple applications, then you switch back to your first one. And that's how they're the most effective.
And then you have a happy ending.
Really?
Yeah. A happy ending, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. How many more weeks can I be off?
Okay, well, I will give that a shot because I've been sticking to just the one repellent for the time being, but I'll get an alternate.
They do
in
adapt
there right
to
away.
It. They get used, not so much the taste, but they get used to the smell, and it's not as effective at that point.
All right, and is all that applicable now with the rain we're expecting? I mean, that's not going to diminish it too much. Or?
Well, once it stops raining, the shaker stuff would be better in the rain, and then once we get a dry period, then you can spray as long as you have about 6 hours for it to dry.
Okay, very good. Okay, that's exactly what I needed to know then.
All right, thanks, Pat. Appreciate it, and good luck to you. All right, 616. Well, you know what? I can't give out that phone number anymore because we're at the top of the hour. How does it feel to be back in the saddle, Chris?
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's like riding a bike, right?
I didn't get much time to pick on Doug, but, you know, that'll come in the next couple weeks. And since I got to build back into it.
And, Doug, I see you're excited.
I'm excited. Yeah, boy, I'm glad she's back.
Yeah. He's keeping his arms tight to his side and eyeballing
me. I told her
me.
We moved the times, but she didn't believe me.
Well, yeah, but I didn't know whether to jump forward or fall back because I got confused.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Christy. Thanks, John. Thanks, Dusty Miller. Appreciate it. Visit myflowerland.com, the blog there, more information, and the podcast. Look for Flowerland on Facebook or Instagram. The Bloodroot story is at thankyouverymulch.com. And stop by a Flowerland store, pick up a copy of my new book, I Need to Change My Plants. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week here on the Flowerland Show.
You can't go. All clear. gonna die.